Lisa, thanks for joining me on the show.
Thanks very much for inviting me on the show this evening.
So firstly, Lisa, you might tell us a small bit about your own business.
So I started my own business a long time ago when I was quite young. It was 25 years ago and I was only 23. I wasn't a minute out of my first career, which was primary school teaching. And I suppose as a primary school teacher, I really loved learning and I got the opportunity to teach my own peers and teachers in other schools. And I was teaching them like IT skills back in the late 90s, early noughties. And from that then I realized that adults had just this different thirst for useful knowledge. So there's nothing like an adult to tell you, oh gosh, I wish I'd known how to do that for the last few years. And I just found that extremely motivating. And from that then I started the company. That was the hook that got me, and I have been working at it ever since, so about 25 years now.
Fantastic. And is there a real appetite out there for people, you know, to upskill and to train and just, I suppose, broaden their knowledge?
Well, there is now, and people are now having multiple careers. So I think the average is about 3 careers in a lifetime. So there's lots of scope there for people to reinvent themselves over and over, depending on what different life stage they're at. And where they might find one thing fulfilling at one point in their career, then when that changes then, or they move on to something or something else changes in their life, like they have an elderly parent or there's different time pressures on them, they might well decide, do you know what, I'm not going to do this anymore. I don't want to sit at a desk. I want to be an SNA. I want to work with older people. It just changes for people over time.
It certainly does, absolutely. And I suppose tying in with that then, talk us through maybe why upskilling is so important in terms of, I suppose, maybe those career changes or even just kind of improving your own knowledge in the job that you're in if you remain in the same job for a long period of time.
Well, you know, Ireland is changing, business times are changing, and there's a lot more regulation out there. So in order to enter into lots of career roles, you need certain skills, and there's huge drivers on that to meet the needs of sectors such as childcare and healthcare. So what people need to do then is just like pick up a phone. And so if you want a big career change, you really need to inform yourself about what exact career or what exact course will get me into exactly what I want to do. And it's important to be really properly informed about that. There's zero unemployment in Ireland at the minute, and that poses recruitment challenges. But those people who are going to recruit those businesses, they're limited in terms of you need to really know, you know, the sector that you're going into. Now, some businesses and some organizations are extremely strategic in the way they recruit. So they will make sure they find a candidate with the right attributes and the right attitudes, and then they will use us or another training organization to make sure that the candidate has the right potential and then has the right training then before they start. So they'll make systems to make sure that the person applying has the right training to fulfill the role.
That's really, really interesting. And you mentioned the changing jobs market there as well. You know, so it's important, I suppose, that people are kind of keeping up with the times, I suppose, and are keeping their skills up and their skills active as well. Because if you are constantly upskilling, I can imagine it gives you probably an advantage then as well if you are looking to change career maybe over someone who hasn't kept up with training, maybe, Lisa.
Oh, for sure. And it often comes down to the person that you're sitting beside, you know, before the interview or indeed interviewing on Zoom. And it could be that extra language that you have in order to speak to the interviewer. So lots of people who come to us, they're transitioning from maybe working in, say, insurance, and they want to become a special needs assistant. Indeed, we have courses there in Tralee and Killarney doing just that. And they have to go from one job, which has very little to do with supporting children with additional needs, to a completely different, you know, sector where they want to be able to walk into a school and say, I want to be, or I am, or I feel like, or I'm competent and I'm confident. You know, it's a really confidence thing that they can walk in and say, you know, I now am a special needs assistant. I've lots to offer. I've lots of transferable skills. So I know what I'm talking about. I've achieved my certification and I'm ready to go. And I want to really contribute to the school and to the school environment.
Yeah, that's great to hear. And it's great that those options are available to people as well. Lisa, I suppose we're often hearing things in terms of maybe the challenges that people are facing in terms of recruiting staff and having staff that have, you know, the skills that they need for a specific job, depending on what the sector, the industry might be. But you might talk us through maybe from your own experience, what are some of the recruitment challenges that are there at the moment, we'll say, that are impacting on different sectors?
So there's huge recruitment challenges in sectors like healthcare, in hospitality, retail. And those employers are faced, you know, with twofold issues. Sometimes, say, for example, if you take healthcare, 25% of people employed in human health and social work activities, according to the ESRI, are actually from other countries. They're not from Ireland. So English language supports is a huge challenge there, as well as they may not, you know, have been in the Irish school system. They may have qualifications from abroad. They may need those qualifications translated, or that person may need to start again and fit in with the statutory training that is set out for that employer. So as I was saying just earlier, some employers are really strategic in the way they do this. So what they'll do as part of the recruitment process is they'll make our training qualifications available to the person who's applying. They pay maybe a small fee to get started on the course. And they're told, look, when you have the right qualifications, come back to us. So that person will pay the small fee. They'll go and do the qualifications for a couple of months, go back to that employer, then start off in their employment. And that employer will pay the balance of the training tab for the person who's starting. So that means that the employer are taking like zero risk in terms of taking on that recruit. And the new recruit also has the confidence of really knowing what they're doing day one, being able to fit into that job much better and feeling more competent doing what they're doing.
Absolutely, I can imagine so. And in terms, Lisa, maybe of someone then, if they're thinking of a career change, what advice would you have for them?
So what I would do is do your research and make sure that you're well informed when you're making inquiries, you know, and you want to, you know, inquire about a training program, make sure that you know what you're getting for your money. So there's lots of part-time courses. There really is a lot of options out there. So pick up the phone and start ringing around, or if you're more comfortable with email, email in, and really try and determine what way is the course going to run. Are you going to meet your trainer in a traditional classroom? We do lots of that. Are you going to meet them over Zoom? And what's the course timetable? What's the schedule? So many courses, they may not meet the trainer. They may just have an email support. If that's the case, you need to establish, you know, what level of support am I going to get over email? If I email the trainer on a Wednesday, am I going to wait until Monday? Am I going to have, you know, a good responsive relationship with my trainer? And then you want to make sure that have they other resources? So now we really use lots of technology to support learning. We have ourselves invested a lot in technology, so somebody can do a course and it's as easy as really using Netflix. You know, you go into your program, you can stop it and pause it and rewind it, do it at your own pace. You know, if there's something that comes up in the assignment, you can go back and look at it. And then you can see things all laid out clearly for you. You're not, you know, wandering around Google hoping to get the answers or wondering, is this a good source of information? It's all kind of curated properly and put together for you, so it's easy to access. So that's really, I'd advise people to make sure that they know what they're getting, make sure they're getting value for money, and that they understand that the employer, you know, will want the course. And then it's about approaching employers as soon as you can and saying, I'm doing this course. I'm interested in, you know, working with your organization. Maybe it involves getting Garda clearance. Maybe it involves, you know, just getting to know and making yourself familiar and your CV familiar to that organization that you want to work in. And the more they know you and the more they know what you're about, it's amazing what a conversation with somebody will throw up, you know, in terms of opportunities. So that's the first thing I do. Pick up the phone, get informed, you know, write an email, reach out to places. And if a training organization isn't, you know, telling you all this information, if they're not telling you when you'll meet your trainer, you know, you can really read between the lines and say, okay, that mightn't be a good fit for me. And then you can decide yourself, what way would I best learn? And give it a try. You know, technology is great. It allows people to do things at their own pace.
It certainly does. And that's really great advice you've given there. I suppose it's kind of a similar question as well. But, you know, sometimes people might be out of work for a prolonged period of time, maybe, or they might have retired, maybe, but they might be looking maybe to go back to work, even on a flexible basis. What advice would you have for them, or what kind of areas maybe might be worth looking into in terms of having that bit of flexibility and returning to work, but maybe just not on the full time basis?
There's lots of flexibility, particularly in the home care sector, for people who, you know, want to do a job that is part-time and that is, you know, somewhat social, more than somewhat social. We have lots of people who are returning to the workforce. They're career changers, you know, people who get jobs that can work remotely part-time. And there is now a huge contribution of those that we call the silver tsunami generation. We're all getting older. The entire population is getting older. And they might be approaching retirement, but they might want to do something else. They might be part of a farm family. They might decide, do you know what? There's a local company now who's getting HSE contracts to go and do home care. And I can go on and do my care skills and my care of the older person. Two simple courses. You know, they'll take about 7 weeks each if you do them very part-time, or you can do them a little bit more quickly if you do them self-paced. And those courses then will give them an entry into a job that can pay about 16 euros an hour, where they'll get supports with driving or traveling to work. And it can be a really good social outlet for somebody who, you know, maybe has been out of the workforce a little while, or they're exploring avenues and exploring putting their toe back in the water.
Absolutely. And just before we finish up, Lisa, just from speaking to you, it seems like that there are so many options out there for people and so many different opportunities available, which is fantastic to see. So I can imagine if someone was listening and they mightn't be happy maybe where they are at the moment, or they are considering a career change, you know, something else might be just sparking their interest. I'd imagine you'd encourage them to look around and to look into these different courses and to try it anyway, because it does seem like that there are so many opportunities and they're worth exploring.
Yes, and while you may not have access to a complete career guidance, sometimes people ring and they may not have the first idea of what they want to do. They just know that they're in a little bit of a painful place and they're feeling a bit uncomfortable about what they're doing and they want to change. So sometimes that's a process of elimination. It's about saying, well, okay, making suggestions to the person, finding out their interests, understanding what they see as the gaps in their CVs, looking at what potential employers, what is attractive to them, what do they particularly like. And sometimes over the pace of a half an hour, you can really tease it out with somebody. And it's not like talking to a friend, you know, where you're discussing options with them. You're talking to a neutral person who, okay, we may not have a course that suits them. And in that case, they'll go on and find it elsewhere. But oftentimes we do find that there's something that we do have to offer them, and that, you know, it's really a stepping stone to something else. Even if they want to become a better supervisor in, or they want to supervise, or they want to become a trainer themselves, there's lots of different options out there. And it's a matter of just taking the time, putting in the phone call. I often comment that there's two times that the phones get very busy here. And one of them is definitely on lunch breaks, you know, when people are in their jobs and they're maybe not that satisfied with whatever's going on, and they decide, do you know what, I really need a change for myself. I need to do something for myself. I need to start it as soon as I can, so I reap the rewards as soon as I can. And then there's another cohort that may be at home or have different circumstances. Maybe they're working part-time or at the weekends. And they're the ones that ring around 11, 10, 11 in the morning, where they're saying to themselves, okay, I'm going to make a real change here for myself. And a year from now, I'll be glad I started today. You know, I need to make a plan for myself. You know, January's coming. I know there's Christmas presents and everything that people are prioritizing now, but, you know, it'll be soon upon us. And it's lovely to have a plan ahead of time and not just be thinking about it when the leftovers are in the fridge after Christmas, that, you know, you have a plan going into January, a solid plan for yourself.
It certainly is. That's great advice. Lisa, it's been lovely talking to you, and thanks so much for joining me on the show.
Thanks very much, Amber.